Now, I could spend 2 hours talking about you, about where your doubts possibly come from. I'm going to kind of dig through the text, read in between the lines of JD's life here, and I'm going to kind of bring the light for us and go, hey, do you have any similarities in that? Do you all understand that? There's a lot of areas where your doubts come from. I'm going to kind of hit the highlights here in the text, all right? So I really just want to identify for us a few things. Number one, I think the first thing that we see in our story today with JB is the story of personal tragedy. Personal tragedy. Now, you can write this in your notes under point two. You want to go, hey, it's a reminder. I didn't put it in there for you. So it's personal tragedy. And what he's experiencing. See, after spending over 30 years, because hopefully you're a good mathematician enough to know that JB was born a few months before Jesus. He's about probably the same age, right? And according to when Jesus started his ministry. So JB at this point, over 30 years preparing for his time to shine for God, did you know that he's only allowed 18 months to work for the Lord? 30 years. Hold on to that thought. Some of you can't go to school for 2 years. 30 years, he lived as a Nazarite. He never married. Never got drunk. Never cut his hair. Learned everything there was about the Bible. And only got to work for God for 18 months. And then it was over. JP is holy. He's set apart. He's foretold about the Bible. And in the end, after living outside of Jerusalem, preaching with a boldness and fervorness that knows no bounds, he's put in jail. I think what JP's experience is that after a life of piety, he starts wondering, is this what I get for doing what I did? For going through what I went through? I wasn't even wanting to gain earthly rewards. You never see that in JP's life. I don't like he was living. It wasn't in for money. Wasn't it for fame? It's just doing what he was called to do. Just the knowledge that he burned right for God would have been enough for JD, right? I mean, I gotta be honest with you, I'm getting to that point in the whole of my life. I don't want to be known about successful in your eyes. I just want to know how I get to heaven. He just says, well done. Like, did I burn right? That's all I want. But I can imagine being put in jail and being forgotten about. It was a life that seems cut short to us, but to God, JB did exactly what he was supposed to do, didn't he? I mean, maybe you've experienced the same thing like JB this morning. You've gone through the mill. When we say that word, guys, that means like a sawmill. You got cut up, chewed up, spit out, like sawdust, right? And you got chewed up, and then the only thing you ever did to deserve it was to try to be obedient to God. Maybe that's your story this morning. I mean, yeah, we know everybody sins, but you were the good kid on the block. You were the one who cut your hair and make sure it was above your collar, and you didn't do the other things that the kids were doing, right? In my family, the temptation is only to look at our story. Here's the problem with our own eyes in the present time. But God sees our story as one moment at one point in time. He sees your whole life at one moment. You can only see what you're going through at the moment, can't you? God looks at you and sees your whole life. Isn't that amazing? From birth to death, he sees everything. Trust in how God is seeing and working in your story, with the good, the bad, and the ugly, to bring him the most glory because it brings you the most joy. Even if you're not seeing it now, you aren't alone in that feeling. You're in a room full of people like that. Now, that's just one area where we start to doubt, have I really made the right decisions? It's from personal tragedy. What are the things that you've gone through? Second thing is here is that he's under the influences of popular influences and expectations. Let me tell you what that means. Popular influences and expectations in his life. JB shared a view of the Messiah with all the other Jews that he grew up with. Now, it was biblically on, like, well, here's what the Messiah is going to do, but he was under the influence of the popular teachings of the day. He thought the popular view of Messiah for the Jews is that this person would come. He would free them immediately with military might and putting the Jews back in the position of the world of authority over others. That's what JB lived with. That's what was happening. And by the way, when Christ does come again, guess who's running the show? It's us. That is the right position. He just thought it was going to happen when Jesus came the first time. JB's no different on this, which is why he checked with Jesus to see if he was the Messiah and not another prophet like himself. The reason why he told him to go check with him is make sure you're the one that I said is to come, because there are a couple other instances out there of other prophets coming before the Messiah. And he wanted to check and make sure that he was right on this timing. Perhaps in your life, you came to Christ with wrong expectations in your head under popular influences, because you were influenced by the beliefs of Jesus around the people that you grew up with. Maybe you thought that by living a morally right life, you'd have a better life now. You thought by not indulging in worldly luxuries or addictions or whatever you wanted to pursue, you've been spared from hardship, and in reality, you discovered Christianity left you flat. See, the danger comes from the creation of expectations in your heart. A lot of times when I counsel people in their marriages, here's one of the questions that I ask people in their relationships. It's like, what is your expectation of the person you marry? And that's where we find most people jump off ship. Well, I expect them to love me, and I expect them to do for me, and y'all get under the investment. I expect them to be able to help me figure out life, and I'm going, like, do you know what we're created from? Do you know how we're fallen? Do you know that God actually puts you together with a person that's supposed to unlike you to help you sanctify you, not to do everything for you? That's not in Scripture. But that's an expectation we have when we get married, isn't it? But it's okay to have a desire. A desire means that I don't. Here's the difference between expectation and desire. When I come home at night, not that we do this, I usually do most cooking now, but if I walk in the door and I expect to have dinner ready, right? Heather's made it for me. And it's not ready, I get mad because that was my expectation. But if I desire it, then that's a good thing. And if it's not done, that's okay because it was just a strong desire. And God uses our desire to make us pursue Him more and more. A lot of times in life, we get in trouble with our doubts because we expect it to go the way that we want it in our life. We have developed a religion in our head that says, if I do, He will do more for me. Does that make sense? This is where John was landing. And the third thing that sometimes where we get doubts from is we just haven't had a full revelation of God yet. You guys remember this. JB is not in the New Testament church. We say, but Pastor Jordan, he's written about it in the New Testament. Yes, but he's still underneath the old covenant. He's still in the old world system, right? He was the last of the old generation whose eyes didn't see the glory of the Lord yet. And he wasn't aware of the full plan of salvation yet and how it would work. He forgot about Isaiah 53, how the Messiah must suffer first for everybody. Just kind of overlooked that. And for us, though, we don't need the luxury of an excuse, do we? But we do need to realize that many times we live in doubt just because, you know why we live in doubt, ladies and gentlemen? It's just because we don't read the Bible enough. Now, this is not the part where I'm the Baptist pastor and I'm starting to see how to read the Bible. Oh, I mean, does that hear that growing up, right? I'm just saying, if there is a natural cause and effect here, the more that God reveals to you who Christ is in the world and in His Bible, the less doubt you have. Can I get an amen for that? Some of you experienced that, right? I just want to be real with you. Because see, it's in the reading of God's revelation, the Word of God, that the Spirit of God opens your eyes to see things. When we read the Bible now, we can see the whole story from Genesis to Revelation. We have something JP never had. We see the glory of the Son, how He saves us, how we see our sin and the need to repent. This is what drives us to prayer, to confession, to Christian community, to service, and to loving others. The reason why we doubt our salvation, the reason we doubt if we're really living in God's plans in our lives, is just because we refuse to read the Bible, that is the complete revelation of Himself to us. We walk around like this going down again. Well, go read the Bible. Take some time and understand it doesn't work quick in your time frame. God sees your whole life as one big picture. Now, those three things in mind of where our doubt comes from, like I said, I take 2 hours. I just want to show you some of the things here in the text. I'm going to go back to the text and see how the gospel answers this for us this morning. Now, hopefully this impacted you. It impacted me when I was studying it this week, and it was just a simple truth that I want us all to remember before we leave. And number three is this, looking at the doubt through a gospel lens. Now let's look at our doubt. We all have it, right? We've learned that it doesn't matter where you're at. The big wigs of faith have had it. That means you're going to have it. We've all said here's some place where you might get doubt from, and probably the biggest one is going to be able to spend the time reading the Bible to be revealed to us, right? Who God is. So, looking at this doubt though through a gospel lens. Now maybe JP was in the dumps at this point, right? He's sitting in prison. He can barely see out the window. Or from sleeping out underneath the stars, sleeping in a dank room. Maybe he was just struggling with what all the other Jews were struggling with. He was wanting a Messiah that would free him from a world that did not love God. That's not a bad thing, right? By physical means, it may be. But JP did do one thing right. You know what he did right? He went straight to Jesus for an answer.
What's that? Father.
shows you it wasn't a total lack of faith in the God. It's something that we all need to emulate. In verse 19, calling two of his disciples, watch this, he sent them to the Lord. Immediately. J.B. didn't waste a lot of time in the dumps when he finally figured out how to get out of here fast. He didn't spend time railing against God, but why did you do this to me? Because I've done everything for you. Doesn't record that. He didn't blame others for his moves. You did this to me, and you did this to me. This is why my life's not working out. Where did he go to answers? Straight to Jesus. And notice as well, Luke is now using the title for Lord in the text. Luke wants to know, he wants the New Testament to know that when you have doubts, don't pass go, don't click return a bus, go straight to Jesus. That's his motto for us. Luke is telling us where we have to go. Family, look, you're never going to find answers for your doubts inside of you. Doubts, I think, are actually God-allowed trials that take us to His Son for the strengthening of His faith. So please, witness now as Jesus answers J.B. and He answers us on how to deal with doubts. Here we go. Verse 21, it reads like this. In that hour, He healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, He bestowed sight. Then He answered them, now go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. We saw that last week. And the poor have the good news preached to them. Jesus knows that J.B. is dealing with the same false assumptions that everybody's dealing with. So very specifically, he had J.B.'s disciples watch him for a very intense period of time. An hour to review for a whole length of time, or maybe specifically an hour, I do not know. He displays to them all the healings we've seen him do over months. Let me just show you a sampling of what I can do. Bam, 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 he runs through them for him. He may even brought back the dead. I don't know if he's referring to, you've heard the story. He might have done that for them, in front of them. I do not know. And then he sends them back to J.B. and tells them, just tell J.B. what you have seen. Don't try to explain it for him. Don't try to talk him out of anything. I'm not asking you to do that for me. I just want you to tell your man. Tell him what you have seen. Jesus knows that J.B. knows the book of Isaiah because J.B. saw himself in Isaiah 40. So he knows that J.B. would have read things like Isaiah 29:18, chapter 35, verse 5, and you're like, what does that mean? It's all the places where Isaiah says, and the Messiah will make the deaf hear and the blind see, and He'll make the lame walk. And in Isaiah 61, He will come and preach the gospel, the good news to the people. And Jesus, you remember in Nazareth, said, I'm here, the scripture is fulfilled, right? You've seen the poor taken care of. Those who were shepherdless, go back and tell them. And then Jesus gives this great statement. And I love it because it's the gospel. When I read this again yesterday, it struck me. It's just one little sentence, and it's so powerful. It says this, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Here's the reality of the gospel this morning. This is in your notes. I wrote this to make sure you have this when you left this morning. Is that the gospel, the message of the Messiah, is not about making you feel secure based on what you've done in your life, John. It's not about all your lineage. It's not about all the things you did for God. It's not about being found in the Bible, John. The gospel is not about all the things you did. But it is the power that saves because it secures you by showing you what I have done, John. In the scripture is what I do. And blessed you are, John, if you believe me. You will be joyful. You'll be content. You'll be fulfilled. Blessed is the man that looks at the scripture and says, it's not about what I do. It's not about who I am. It's not about all the doubts of, did I keep this right? But you will be fulfilled when you look at Christ and see it's all about what He did. That's always been Jesus' answer, isn't it? It's amazing, isn't it? And He gives John, and through miles away, He puts His hand on John's shoulder through his men and says, John, don't give up. Oh, look at me. Keep watching me. You know what you read. You know what you studied. This is important to Jesus. If you find yourself doubting, thinking you've got this Christianity thing wrong, could it be that you're Could it be, let me just say this, and maybe offend you a little bit this morning. Could it be that you're offended that God didn't ask your opinion on how to do things first? Are you offended by a God that didn't give you what you wanted based on how you think He should have parented you, based on thinking how He should have rewarded you, based on thinking how He should have disciplined you? Are you offended at Him? Parents in the room, how ridiculous is this? Should your kids be offended by how you parent them? Then why don't we do it to God? That's ridiculous. Yet I do it every day. We need to be done with that position with Him. He is a God that sees our whole life in one moment. How can we dare be offended at what He does? Then, how can we have the right to be offended by Jesus? Well, last week we saw He who is what? Divine. Jesus raises the dead, goes where He wants, does what He wants, because He knows all things. Right now, in your mind, the Lord that we worship is in flesh. He hears me, He hears you, He hears your thoughts, He's connected to us divinely by His Spirit. Do not be offended by Him. Blessed you are if He's not offending you today. Trust me. And I pray that JB heeded Jesus' word that day, because soon after that, you know what happened to JB? He faced his death. Golly. I mean, talk about the nick of time. Get the gospel right before you go, right? And by the way, you're about to go to the top of the block. Remember this. Make sure, if y'all know I'm dying one day, make sure you come back to me and you read me that one sentence. Okay? Let me know. Remind me. And you also say the same thing. Don't become, oh, you don't know what's happening to you. You're a sinner, dirty. You're dying. But remember this. Don't be offended by it. Put your faith in Him. Remember the things that Jesus did in your life. Remind me. Remind one another in your hard days. Don't be offended. And can you imagine Him walking to His death, and He had two choices. He can either put His faith in the conception of God in His head and figure, this was just a big cool joke on me. Because if I did not do this rightly, then I've been made a fool, and I'll be the biggest fool in history. Right? The Jews will laugh about me days from now when they hear about my head. Or, when He goes to the block, He goes, I will put my hope in my cousin, Jesus of Nazareth, and rest in what He has done, because it's been seen. I've got to put my faith in it. I believe one day we'll get to ask Him. Isn't that cool? Tell me that story, John. How was it when you walked down that aisle to your death? How'd that go for you? That'd be a good story, won't it? My family, let me kind of close it out like this. Are you putting your hope in the completed works of Jesus this morning that He demonstrated to us in His life and death on the cross? You have the full revelation now. We're going to celebrate in 2 weeks the resurrected Lord. Are you putting your hopes not in what you're doing, not in the religion you made up in your head that says I should get this because I've done this? Are you putting it in the completed life and work of Jesus in His life, in His ministry, the death on the cross, the vindication of who He was by His resurrection? Are you still putting it in you this morning? Are you a little offended at Him for something? Are you a little sad right now because you're putting too much stock in your ability to perform Christian duties, hoping that God rewards you for good behavior? Your reward, here's your reward, family. Your reward is the treasure of Christ. That He loves you. He loved every one of you. And just as He did for JB in our story today, here's what's cool about this, that right now, in this moment, His word does not return void. He reaches across time, puts His hand on your shoulder, and says, don't be offended by me. Look at what I've done. Put your faith and trust in me. Put your hope in Him, family, because He's the only sure thing you'll ever have in this world. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for Your word. Father, we thank You for the gift of the Son, the sending of the Helper to help us see Your words. Lord Jesus, as a parent, and for many people in this room, I know many times, I just want to be able to explain to my kids why they shouldn't doubt things. But I know this truth, Lord, that we must go through doubt. We must learn how to trust You. and that you must regenerate us by your Spirit. Faith must be a gift. Grace must be received. We must see you for ourselves, and you must save us, all by thy sovereignty. So right now, Father, I ask for those in this room, dear Lord, who maybe are doubting right now, have doubted that they followed you well, that you would save them by a gift of faith in your Son, Jesus. If you're out there today and you have not, it's not about making a commitment to follow him. God commits to saving you. And if today you are having a greater affection for your Lord today, know that he is saving you. And blessed you are that you're not offended by him for how he has worked in your life. So, Father, help us all to celebrate today in communion and throughout our week what you have done in this body. For we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Amen.